Welcome to St. Matthew's and welcome to worship this morning. It's good to see you all here. Our service will follow the Red Communion booklet that either you're sitting on or that you can use. We're starting, obviously, on page one. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We turn to say together the prayer of preparation on page two. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. We shall have some moments of quiet for personal reflection and then say together the first prayer on page three. And so we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand together to say the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Collect for the Week. Faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love, new every morning, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please do sit down. reflecting the fact that we now have an online community, as we also have a community worshipping in church. I'm absolutely delighted that for the first in the 9 o'clock service, our reader is remote. So I'm going to
reading is Genesis chapter 50, verses 5 to 21. The reading is Genesis chapter 50, verses 5 to 21. My father made me swear an oath and said, I'm about to die. Bury me in the tomb I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. Now let me go up and bury my father, then I will return. Pharaoh said, go and bury your father, as he made you swear to do. So Joseph went up to bury his father. All Pharaoh's officials accompanied him, the dignitaries of his court, and all the dignitaries of Egypt, besides all the members of Joseph's household and his brothers and those belonging to his father's household. Only their children and their flocks and herds were left in Goshen. Chariots and horsemen also went up with him. It was a very large company. When they reached the threshing floor of Atad near the Jordan, they lamented loudly and bitterly. And there Joseph observed a 7-day period of mourning for his father. When the Canaanites who lived there saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, the Egyptians are holding a solemn ceremony of mourning. That is why that place near the Jordan is called Abel Mizraim. So Jacob's sons did as he had commanded him. They carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which Abraham had bought as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite, along with the field. After burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt together with his brothers and all the others who had gone with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph, saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now, please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When their messages came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
O Almighty God, be in these spoken words, we pray, through the power of your living Spirit. Amen. So our sermon series has been entitled Joseph and His Colourful Overcoat or Life. And today I've called this morning's, and that's the end of the story. And we're in the middle of a story at the moment, aren't we? And it's not much fun. We don't know how it's going to end. We know there's going to be pain and difficulty for many. And most of us would admit to something ranging between mild anxiety to full-blown panic, all accompanied by the soundtrack of the 24-hour news channel, which churns the same stories over and over until we can find ourselves wading through interminable and cloying despondency. This week, the Bishop of Manchester spoke of the church needing to be a powerful champion of the mental resilience, which is needed at present. And I suggest we can do this because we have a bigger picture, a bigger story, if you like. And that bigger story is one for which we already know the ending, because to some extent it has already happened. In our bigger story, we know that Jesus Christ was crucified, but we also know that he rose from the dead 3 days later. He overcame death, and in so doing, he brought a chunk of the end of the story, God's ultimate victory, into the present. That leads to the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God. It means that we can sometimes now see glimpses of the kingdom of God around us because of what happened to Jesus on the cross and his overcoming of it all on Easter Sunday. Though, as we're so aware, whilst the battle has been won, there are still skirmishes to be fought with the powers of evil, that we are still captive to sin in a world of pain and suffering is testament to this. But we have the current hope of something better now and into the future, and it is this which we need to draw upon at this time. It is the bigger story which we need to tell and retell through this difficult time. We have a hope which is certain and true. We know the end of our ultimate story. And today we've come to the end of the story of Joseph, and indeed the end of Genesis, as Joseph dies at the age of 120. Our reaction to the ending of any story will depend on many factors, but one crucial one is the extent to which the end is consistent with the themes of the book and whether it ties up enough loose ends. It's not satisfactory, is it, to have a story of cruelty and hatred suddenly end happily ever after because all the players have hastily undergone unrealistic character changes to facilitate this. So what of the story of Joseph? We've seen how Joseph has matured over the tale from favoured upstart son through jailbird to gifted leader. And in chapter 48, we see him as father as he introduces his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, to their grandfather, Jacob. And there seems a terrible sense of déjà vu as Jacob adopts these as his two sons, leaving future children of Joseph to be less significant. And then he crosses his arms over as he blesses them to favour the younger over the older, putting Ephraim over Manasseh. What are we to make of this? Does the family of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob never learn? Must the family quarries of Esau and Jacob, and then Jacob's own sons, be played out again in the next generation? Apparently the answer is yes. And to muddy the waters further, Jacob gives Joseph an extra share of inheritance over his brothers. A bit more of that in a minute. When we started the series, I suggested that we would see two particular movements across the weeks. The first was the movement of the story from individual to a people. And the second movement is the journey which begins taking this favoured nation from Canaan to Egypt, and then through the Exodus books and beyond, going back into Canaan. And the fundamental importance of this land. And we see these two themes intertwining in chapter 49 as Jacob blesses his sons in turn. This not only captures the essence of the individual, but more particularly the tribe of Israel, which takes each brother's name and eventually a portion of land. These 12 blessings, I say you can find them in chapter 49, are brought to colourful life in a brilliant way by the pictures of Marc Chagall in a hospital in Jerusalem. And we've just got a couple of pictures which we might just put up over the next few minutes just to have a look at them to give you a bit of an idea of what they're like. So anyway, these 12 blessings that Jacob gives are an example of the now and the not yet, effectively. They're the fledgling nation of Israel, because Jacob is describing both the character of his son now, but also what the tribe named after that son will be, and what their future is going to be. But I just want to draw out a couple of interesting things from these blessings. So Jacob has, we know, 12 sons, and then he adopts two more, as I said, the two sons of Joseph. So now we have 14 in total. But we know, don't we, only 12 tribes of Israel. How does that work? Well, one brother was Levi, whose tribe would become the priestly tribe of the Levites, from whom Moses and Aaron came. Now, that tribe didn't inherit any land, but instead relied upon the support of all the other tribes. And there's also, if you think about it, no tribe called Joseph. And that's because the share in his own name and the additional one given by Jacob to him for his sons ended up meaning that it was his sons who gave their name to tribes and who inherited a portion of the land. And that left nothing for their biological father, Joseph. How strange, or perhaps how typical of the sort of the topsy-turvy world which Jesus will introduce us to much later, that the names of the brothers who sold Joseph into slavery are written into history, aren't they? Dan and Naphtali and Asher and Gad and all those guys. And actually it's Joseph whose name dies on his deathbed. Seems strange. And the other point I want to make to show how relevant looking at some of these stories is today is to look at just very briefly the key understanding to the people of Israel as they start out, how that's affected them thousands of years ago, but how the consequence affects today. Because this story of blessing individual sons who become tribes shows how closely the people of Israel, their very identity, is linked to the land itself. For so many people, the land and the people are inextricably linked. And we know only too well the problems that this continues to cause in the Israel and Palestinian conflicts. This is just these couple of, there are a remarkable set of 12 stained glass windows, as I say, each window depicting one of the sons and the aspects that Jacob talks about. They're worth having a look at. So just having a look at other major features of the ending of Genesis, and whether it rings true, is, I suppose, the concern of the brothers that we heard about, that with Jacob gone, Joseph might turn on them. But he assures his brothers that this will not happen, using that wonderful reassurance we heard Paul read. Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good. Even though you, my brothers, intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good. That is a description of the God who has been working all the way along in the background of this story, recognized by Joseph and whose presence, to quote something I said in week one, we see weaving threads of goodness, mercy, and judgment into the texture of ordinary life, working towards the best possible end. Imagine those threads of goodness, mercy, and judgment like threads in Joseph's multicolored coat. Threads in the texture of ordinary life, working towards the best possible end. And that's the best possible end, not just for the individuals concerned, but now at the end of the book, we know for a nation starting out, the nation of Israel. That nation has been launched by the end of Genesis. So in conclusion, we're not much further along in terms of years from way, way back many centuries ago, which is where we began the sermon series. But through the stories and the themes from Joseph's life, we've seen God working towards the best possible end as he continues to do so into our future. There were then and there will be some calamitous times along the way. But remember, as we're thinking about the end of this story, we already know the end of our story, for it's already happened in Jesus Christ. And that's the best possible end that all our stories can have. And it's what we need to hold on to at this time of all times. Amen. We come now in the Red Communion booklet to say the Creed together. So that's on page 7, and can I invite you to stand as we say it together? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sit for our prayers. The response to the invitation, Lord, hear us. The response is, Lord, graciously hear us. Let us pray to the Lord, who is our refuge and stronghold. For the health and well-being of our nation, that all who are fearful and anxious may be at peace and free from worry. We pray for those who have entered a new tier of alert this week across our nation. For those who are once again shielding. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For the isolated and housebound, that we may be alert to their needs across our community and care for them in their vulnerability. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For our homes and families, our schools and young people, and all in any kind of need or distress. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For a blessing on our local community, especially we pray today for the care homes in our parish and the residential homes. We remember our friends at Woodbury Residential Home and all the residents and carers and families of those in care homes, still not able to visit and be visited by loved ones. May our neighbourhoods and all who live in this place, may those neighbourhoods be places of trust and friendship. May we reach out with trust and friendship so that all are known and cared for. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray not only for our nation, but for countries across the world. Those who are much less able to cope with the crisis of pandemic than this country. Countries where there are not sophisticated medical equipment, where there are not enough doctors or nurses even to meet usual demand, let alone crisis management. We pray for the other significant international issues. We bring before you, Heavenly Father, the American election, the talks on Brexit, matters which would have been headline news day after day had it not been for COVID-19. We pray for rising unemployment figures, rising numbers of people in debt, those visiting food banks, those facing homelessness, job insecurity, parents not able to feed their children. Lord, we ask that you help us find ways to extend the generosity which you have given to us, to those people. And we thank you for aid agencies and for churches who are reaching out in the places of most need. We pray for their work to be continued and blessed. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We are not people of fear, we are people of courage. We are not people who protect our own safety, we are people who protect our neighbor's safety. We are not people of greed, we are people of generosity. We are your people, God, giving and loving wherever we are, whatever it costs, for as long as it takes. wherever you call us. Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just to remind you that you will be given by me, if you choose to take it from me, a notice sheet as you are outside the building, that next week is our annual parochial church meeting. It will be 11:15. It will be on Zoom. So I suggest if you're a regular 9 o'clock, you come as usual at 9 o'clock, and then you Zoom in at 11:15. You can do that either on the phone or on your computer, and all the details are on the back of our notice sheet. Couple of dates just to tell you, please again have a look, a service of remembering and thanking, and on our way morning, Saturday the 14th of November, we're just going to have a couple of hours spent together on Zoom, not entirely, we'll have some breaks and some other things, but it's just an idea that people, we can have some ideas and have some teaching and a bit of worship. It's in lieu of the away weekend, which we should have been doing today. We should, some of us anyway, would have been at De Vere Horsley Hotel this very day, enjoying time together. So we're going to do it instead on Saturday the 14th of November. Some of you will have wondered whether we could still have services in the light of new restrictions. You know, the answer is yes, very definitely. And we had decided that as our services continued, we have a little bit more music in them, and we would try and make them a little bit more like normal, and we intend to do that. But the rules are, please, no mingling amongst households. So in theory, you're not allowed to mingle with other people, certainly in church, and it once outside, please, no more than in groups of six. The Holy Communion instructions are the same as before, so please observe, you'll be instructed when to come up for communion. You'll just receive the bread. Please note the orange markers on the carpet to stay 2 meters away. You'll be encouraged to have your hands sanitized on the way back round to there. And if you're sitting on an aisle seat, please would you move back and allow the person or people along the aisle from you to come out in front of you to allow effective circulation. And really, at the end of the service, I think this is where we've sort of not maybe got it quite right. I think we can have somebody at the front encouraging or directing when you should leave, because this is obviously a bit of a bottleneck area. So please be guided by whoever is here doing that, and just walk straight out. And I will try not to add to the bottleneck outside. And finally, please, rotas. Rotas are always a bit of a nightmare, and at the moment they are causing an inordinate amount of anxiety, well, not anxiety, but pain, basically, to Julie and to Jackie and to others. So please, if you are able to sign up for rotas, just to, you know, do the easy things about coming in and marshalling people, please just go to the COVID page on the website. The very top of it, there's welcomers, I think. You just, it's a sign-up genius. It's really, really simple. And if I think most people who are coming to this service now should expect that they will be marshalling perhaps one in every 3 weeks. So if you could please just put yourselves down to do that, that would just make everybody's lives easier. It just takes up a huge amount of people's time badgering people to welcome or marshal. So please do sign up for that now. You will be given clear instructions as to what to do. You won't be left stranded, but please do enter into that and help us out. Thank you. And do remember, the clocks go back 1 hour next week. That's on that notice sheet as well. Thank you. So we now come to the peace. So can I invite you please to stand? God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us offer one another a socially distanced peace. This morning we are going to use Eucharistic Prayer H, which you can find on page 38 of the Red Communion booklet. As we begin, some gospel sentences. So God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now we sit as we come to say the prayer which our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We say the first prayer on page 15. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. I will be receiving the wine on behalf of you all. And of course, for those who are sharing in our service from home, a prayer of spiritual communion. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits you have given me, for all the pains and insults you have borne for me. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I ask you to come spiritually into my heart. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We say together the first prayer on page 16. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. We thought it was about time we introduced a hymn into our 9 o'clock service, not so that we can sing it, regrettably, but at least so that we can share the words and the tune together. So I'm going to invite you to stand as we share in the hymn, Will You Come and Follow Me? And now a final prayer of blessing. So may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and those for whom you pray, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen.